This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
There goes my baby with someone new. She sure looks happy, I sure am blue. She was my baby till he stepped in. Goodbye from romance that might have been.
Oh yeah, a little bit of the Everly Brothers. Bye bye love. That was a great group, you know. They had one hit after another. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, July the 1st, which, by the way, is Dominion Day in Canada. You know what that day commemorates? It's the anniversary of the July 1st, 1867, when the provinces of Canada became one country. July 1st, 1867, by the Constitution Act. It became Canada Day officially in 1982, but I remember it as Dominion Day. I come from Winnipeg, Manitoba, but came over to the U.S. as a very young little lad. Anyway, Dominion Day in Canada, and of course, the weekend before the 4th of July. We're glad you're here. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Katie Tubb of the Heritage Foundation about the Supreme Court decision to rein in the power of the EPA and essentially give it back to Congress. Why that was a good decision. 6-3, by the way. Stay tuned for that. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is vowing to appeal a state judge's ruling that would still allow abortions after 15 weeks, despite the ban by the state legislature. And we'll talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about that, His Excellency Andrew Ceresi. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And why is President Biden so afraid to stand there and take questions? You know, he ducked the press again in his latest little so-called press conference. He said, I'm out of here. And he took off. What's going on? We're going to look at that. And in our ultimate top 10, for you wrestling fans, I'm going to find out if Ed's a wrestling fan and how many of these he knows, but the top 10 best wrestlers of all time, all time. So stay tuned for that later. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut, you men in Tampa Bay. Get into this barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street in Dunedin. Call for your appointment first, please. 727-733-3773. And always, a tip of the hat to the Senior Voice America radio show. Aren't they great? Comes just before our program with Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger. They're actually on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. So we're going to talk about the decision by the Supreme Court to rein in the EPA. They came up with a 6-3 decision, a significant blow to Biden yesterday, that says the Environmental Protection Agency cannot pass sweeping regulations that might overhaul entire industries without Congress approving it. Here's what's happening with a lot of these organizations that are formed underneath the executive branch. They are starting to do things that the Congress has the power to do, the legislative branch. They're starting to write law, in effect, make law. They can't do that. So we'll talk about that, of course, a little bit later in the show. In the meantime, there's a lot of other things that are going on. Biden, I think, is still overseas. I think he still has to get over to Saudi Arabia, Ed, if I remember right, get on his knees and beg for some more oil. But he's got this thing about not taking too many questions. He ended what amounted to kind of a joke of a press conference yesterday. Turned his back and left as reporters were shouting questions at him. He answered several questions from a predetermined list of reporters while he was in Madrid, Spain, following their NATO summit. Then he goes, "All right, guys," he tried to wrap things up. Multiple reporters still wanted to ask questions. Somebody in the crowd promised to be quick. Biden shut it down nonetheless. He says, "There's no such thing as a quick one. I'm out of here." And there we have, you know, rear end and elbows. Well, I'd get more rear end and elbows from Biden than we get answering questions on, you know, from reporters.
I was watching Fox News before the press conference of Biden and Peter Ducey, the reporter, came on and they asked him, you know, "You got your questions ready?" And he said, "Yes, I've got two here ready to go. You know, nothing to do with, you know, what's going on here, but other things." And as soon as Biden was done, he said, "Now we're going to take questions. I'm told." He always says that.
"I'm told." Yeah,
"I'm told."
They direct him on. So
and so is going to start. And then they didn't. And as soon as he said, "Okay, we're done," Peter Ducey stood up and started shouting out his questions. To me, I would be really. I'd be like, "What am I here for? If I'm told to get my questions together, I spent my time putting these questions together, and then you continue." This isn't a one-time thing. They continuously do this to people that ask other than, "What's your favorite ice cream?"
Right. I mean, let me give you what the exact quote that you were just referring to, and it's so obnoxious. He goes, quote, "I'll be happy to take your questions. And the first question I'm told.
Yeah.
Is Darlene Superville from the Associated mm-hmm. Press. This guy is so phony and so afraid to stand on his own two feet. I've never seen a president who is supposed to be a strong leader. That's why we elect them, to make strong, important decisions. This guy can't do that.
And they were the softball questions again. The softball, one was a softball. The other was a little up there, but not, you know, and we got the same answer that, you know, the question was asked, I believe, you know, you're saying that Americans are upset because inflation and gas prices, and he kept saying, "I'll say it once again, this is Putin's yeah. fault. This is Putin's gas fault. This is Putin's inflation fault."
Yeah, it's food, gas,
oh,
inflation.
Oh, my God, come
I'll
on.
Putin. Yeah. See, it's real easy to blame somebody else. Remember the guy that said, and he said it at the beginning of his term about the buck stops here. It's the old Harry Truman, President Truman slogan, the buck stops here, yeah. meaning the presidency. This guy, the buck, he ducks under
his desk. And I'm not a big fan of airing our dirty laundry out overseas. When he said, when he was disrespecting the Supreme Court. And when you do that overseas, it just tells those people out there that we've got problems. Other than Obama going over there and apologizing all the time for America.
There's something very, very wrong about going over there and doing exactly what you said. We can do that here. I mean, it's bad enough to try to delegitimize a ruling by the Supreme Court over here. But to go overseas and start saying it, it doesn't say much for Biden himself, you know? It just doesn't. It's like a family quarrel. You don't go to somebody else's house and in front of everybody else start talking about some of these issues you have inside of your family. You do it inside your own home with your own family, and you resolve it that way. And you're exactly right. All right. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, Katie Tubb of the Heritage Foundation and the Supreme Court decision to rein in the power of the EPA.
December back in '63. What a very special time for me.
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on the Friday before the Monday of 4th of July. I hope you're going to have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. In the meantime, the Supreme Court dealt a significant blow to the Biden administration's climate change agenda yesterday. 6-3 decision. It says the EPA cannot pass sweeping regulations that might overhaul entire industries. It actually, I guess, stems from the 2015 Clean Power Plan from the Obama administration that aimed to reduce carbon emissions at power plants by pushing a shift from coal to natural gas. But here's the deal. It starts to look like the EPA is stepping into the congressional arena. We have Katie Tubb with us. She is a research fellow for energy, climate, and environment at the Heritage Foundation. Katie, welcome to FreedomWorks. Tell me, was this decision by the Supreme Court to kind of rein in the power of the EPA, do you think it was a wise decision by them?
It was, and, you know, I think we kind of knew this was coming. The writing was on the wall because you referenced the Clean Power Plan, which was the occasion, the trigger for this case and decision. But back in 2016, just months after President Obama's EPA finalized the Clean Power Plan, states, 25 states and a few other state agencies took it straight to the court because they saw all kinds of problems with this regulation. And the Supreme Court stayed implementation of the Clean Power Plan, which is not something they usually do. But it was a good hint that the Supreme Court at the time thought, there are some problems here, and they're big enough that we can't let the EPA implement this regulation while this goes through the legal system. So what we saw yesterday was the completion of that very long legal journey to get back to the Supreme Court and look at the Clean Power Plan and what the role of the EPA is and what the role of Americans' representatives in Congress are. And the short of it is, the Supreme Court gave a very clear warning message, not just to the EPA, but to all regulatory agencies, that you better show your homework about why you're doing what you're doing, and that Congress gave you the authority to do it.
You know, I look at this. I look at this Supreme Court as like trying to put Humpty Dumpty back together again when it comes to the Constitution with some of these decisions that they have come up with, because it actually points back to the limited power of the federal government, does it not?
Exactly. You know, I think there's two things going on here. One is the role of states in our Constitution as arbiters and as representatives of their residents, as well as the role of Congress. And both are at play when it comes to electricity policy. And I think you're exactly right that what the court defended yesterday was a constitutional system of government where Americans' representatives debate and decide on legislation that they pass into law, and then regulators execute that law. And the EPA got that completely backwards, where Congress had multiple times said, no, we're not going to pass a cap and trade system on our electricity sector. And under the Obama administration, they didn't like that outcome, so they invented their own authority under the Clean Air Act to implement their own cap-and-trade program. And the court said, you can't do that. We have a constitution. These are the rules of the road. And to me, you know, no matter what you think about global warming, that's the court's decision was good because it was affirming, again, the rules of the road. And I think at the end of the day, that's what Americans want. They want to know what are the rules and that those rules are reliable. And if we don't like the rules, we go through the process of changing them. And that's what the EPA was trying to avoid doing.
Exactly. We're talking with Katie Tubb. She is a research fellow for energy, climate, and the environment at the Heritage Foundation. And we are talking about the Supreme Court 6-3 decision yesterday to rein in the Environmental Protection Agency on some of its what you might say, legislative-making capabilities, which brings me to this question to you, Katie. Presidential executive orders, and not just Biden, but Trump was doing it as well, and there were a bunch of them from the Obama administration, where they come up with things that seem to skirt over their branch in and seep into the legislative branch, as also with these agencies. They seep into the legislative branch. They're supposed to, like, interpret law and then, based on their interpretation, I guess, go about enacting things or executing things. They are the executive branch. They execute the law. They don't you know, add to it, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. You know, I think you're exactly right to say that this has been a problem by presidents of both parties, and it's been happening for quite a while now. And you know, we can point to pretty much any issue area and identify that as a problem, because when you go from a Republican to a Democrat president or back to a Republican, you have these major swings in policy. And I feel terrible for businesses who look at this situation and I think, we're trying to plan 5 and 10 years down the road, and we have significantly different operating environments because of who is president. And I think that's really unfortunate, because that's not how our Constitution is designed. You know, that legislative authority needs to reside in Congress, because there's accountability there.
Right.
And in this case, you know, President Biden has done an incredible amount of legislation by way of regulation and executive order to push a radical climate agenda. And this is not small ball stuff. It impacts Americans, you know, in the sense of what you're doing when you plug something into the wall and how much you're paying for that. Everything to that, to what you're paying for gasoline right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. The EPA, you know, by coming up with these different plans, just think what it's doing to all kinds of industries. And when Biden, when he first took office, wanted to unplug the pipelines, what that was doing to an industry. And I mean, they were just kind of doing it, I don't know, without thinking, or maybe they realized, you know, what they were doing. So I'm thinking, in a way, the Supreme Court is, you know, is kind of stepping in and saying, look what you're impacting industries by doing these kinds of things as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, you know, I think this certainly doesn't undo everything President Biden has done, but it's an important message that I think over the next months and years will have some important ramifications for restoring representative government. And you know, you said earlier, you wonder if President Biden was thinking or not when he canceled the Keystone Pipeline and many other actions like that. And I think he very well does understand what he's doing. And it's pushing this radical climate agenda to basically totally re-engineer our energy system towards renewables and electricity generation, as opposed to using coal, oil, natural gas. And it looks very much like what Europe has been doing for the last decade. And I think we're all getting a very important lesson as we watch Europe deal with the consequences of those policies right now. And thankfully, we're not that far down the road yet, and there's still opportunity to block President Biden's unilateral objective here to push a very, I should say, radical energy environment agenda.
Yeah, in fact, I guess he's going to slide over to Saudi Arabia in the next few days and beg for a little bit more oil from them. And here we make it cleaner, we refine it better. It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, it seems to me, getting back to the seepage of legislative action into the executive branch, the Senate is like 50-50. We can't seem to pass much in Congress right now, because for instance, in the Senate you need 60 votes to even bring up legislation, so that's going to stop anything over there. And so, do you think that's part of the reason that right now the executive branch is taking is sneaking in the back door of the legislative branch?
I think it is part of it. I think it's also part of a judicial system that has become also more activist and legislative in nature. So they've enabled the executive branch to fill vacuums that Congress has left behind. But, you know, I think our system is also designed so that policy is difficult to pass. And you know, I think that's a good thing in a lot of ways. You think of all the things Congress can get up to that aren't great for Americans. It's good that the process is difficult, and that there's a lot of checks and accountability in that process. What's unfortunate is then when the executive branch sees that Congress isn't legislating, and they fill the vacuum and then get away with it because the courts let them. And I think that's why this EPA West Virginia case is so important, is it says, you have pushed the envelope way too far, EPA. So it brings accountability back into the system.
You know, it's interesting. We're getting into the 4th of July weekend, the July 4th, the Declaration of Independence, the idea. I mean, it just makes those founding fathers, to me, seem that much more brilliant. They create these three branches of government because they knew that if they didn't have one overseeing the other, it's like, What was that old game, that paper over scissors, rock breaks, all that one where one can cancel out the other when they start to take advantage. And here it is, we're coming on the 4th of July, and we can look back at these people and go, wow, they kind of saw what human nature could be like, and they sought to create something that they thought would allow the freedom of the individual, I guess, to continue. Go ahead. You know what I'm trying to say.
I think you are exactly right, and I think this case, the West Virginia versus EPA case, lets that shine through. You know, the founders knew what they were doing. There's a lot of wisdom in the Constitution. It wasn't perfect, but it was really good. I also want to elevate the role of states here, because we have the state of West Virginia and 24 other states to thank for bringing this case and a number of other cases to the Supreme Court. And I think there's also, a lot of wisdom in the states holding the federal government accountable. And in this case, Congress failed to hold the EPA accountable, but there was a long line of states ready to do it for them. And again, that's another part of the genius, I think, of the American system.
Absolutely right. It was a pleasure to have you, Katie. Thank you so very, very much for coming on. I hope down the road we will be able to chat again.
That would be great. Thanks again for inviting me into the conversation, and happy July 4th weekend to you.
Oh, indeed, to you as well. Thank you. Katie Tubb, Heritage Foundation. Enjoyed that very much. All righty. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis vowing to appeal a state judge's ruling that would still allow abortion after 15 weeks, despite the ban by the state legislature. Let's get the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, into the conversation after this break.
There is nothing that is wrong wanting you to stay here with me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkeley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on July the 1st, prior to July the 4th. And Governor Ron DeSantis, there's so much going on in Florida that if indeed he really did want to run for the White House, he's getting lots of ink. We're not saying he wants to, but he certainly is doing a lot. Right now, he is announcing his intention to appeal a court ruling that would allow abortion after 15 weeks, despite the Florida legislature passing a House bill back in April that bans most abortions after 15 weeks unless the health of the mother is threatened or the baby has a fatal abnormality. This is Leon County Circuit Judge John Cooper. He's issuing a temporary stop to that law, a temporary injunction. He calls it unconstitutional. He's going back to the same privacy thing that the Supreme Court threw out when it comes to abortions. He says, this is Cooper, I'm not here to litigate abortion. I'm here to litigate the right to privacy in Florida. Well, come on, man. Did you not read the decision of Roe versus Wade? That privacy right has nothing to do with abortion? Anyway, we've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. And Andrew, I don't want to get into the question of the legitimacy of abortion or not. I really wanted to bring you into the mix because Governor Ron DeSantis is not a shrinking violet. He's kind of the opposite of what we got in the White House, you know? He's not afraid to take the reins and do what he thinks is right. He's right out. He kind of leads with his chin, a little bit like Trump has.
Well, Paul, first of all, is that a Democrat judge?
That's a very good question. Leon County is generally a Republican county.
Uh-huh.
John Cooper, I don't know. It doesn't say here. While you're talking, I'll look. But
he's probably appointed by Barack Obama, if I had to bet.
Yeah, well, it would be appointed by a governor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a circuit judge. You know what? You're right. It's a circuit judge. It's not a state judge. You're right. It could have been a Barack Obama appointee.
That could have. I'd put money on it.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sure.
But besides that, listen, we got a governor doing a great job over here. He's going to win this. This is just prolonging what the Supreme Court has said. That's all. What does this guy think? He's got more power than the Supreme Court?
Exactly. I think DeSantis basically said that, too, that he's not going to get anywhere with this idea.
He's not going to get nowhere, but, he's just throwing a wrench in there to break a couple of gears for a while.
I think you're right.
Just to appease the Democrat people, saying, look, we got him on this one.
Yeah, right.
Paul, it's just like the whole January 6th thing. Oh, we got Trump this time. We got him this
time. Can you believe the media continuing to carry the water for those Democrats on that issue? Can you believe it?
Do you realize that nobody watches them?
Exactly. Exactly. I like to watch news. I won't watch it. I won't watch. I'm watching these people. First of all, they're bad teleprompter readers. Most of them. Some of them are just plain boring. Everybody knows they're just reading a teleprompter. The whole thing, it's like a soap opera, is it not?
Well, what I want to know, Paul, is all these women that have lied under oath. But see, they didn't lie because they said it was hearsay to begin with.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. You're talking about that woman that claims,
yes.
Here's Trump trying to jump over the seat into the front of his limousine to stop the driver from not taking him to the Capitol building. What?
But you know, Paul, what amazes me, how stupid people are to believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I sit there on the computer, oh, we got him this time. Look at that, what he's done. He's throwing food in the car, and he's jumping through the windows. And
here's a guy that got so much done, Trump, as president. They go after him for all these little personality quirks, and he certainly has them. Meantime, Joe Biden and his son and his brother and his whole family taking payoffs from one country after another. And do you ever hear a peep out of the mainstream media? Do you ever hear a peep about the Hunter Biden laptop, which has been completely found to be credible?
And let me tell you,
can you believe it? It's just this is Alice in Wonderland time.
Joe's last words before he leaves office will be, "I pardon my son for life."
Yes,
guaranteed. And that's the only thing he's been able to say through his whole presidency. And he'll have to ask if he can do it.
The way he talks, he doesn't even recognize his own son. So I don't know anything about what he's doing. Okay, no. They catch him on the computer thing will show that he does. They got all of this information about his connection. He's been getting money. He has been throwing his money into the same basket of money that Hunter Biden is getting. They're showing that. He's going, no, I don't know anything about it.
Paul. Listen, they need to go. And you know what? It's going to happen. It's just a question of when, Paul. People are getting fed up.
Yeah.
I mean, totally, totally fed up.
Speaking about whether or not Biden lasts, the other day Kamala Harris said, yep, he's running again. And guess what? I'm going to be his running mate. She said it, you know. Did you see that?
The two of them.
Did you see it?
They put the two of them together.
I thought.
IQ of one.
I thought. I just saw a collective. What do you want to call it? A collective collapse of people in the Democratic Party when she came out saying that, as in, oh, God, Paul, it's suicide.
The fact of the matter, Paul, is our government is the laughing stock of the world. Okay? They're laughing stock. Every country in the world is laughing. Look at Biden over there making a moron of himself in Europe. Well, I think we got some questions here. Yeah, you're number three.
I'm told to call on you. Another thing he did, he's airing our dirty laundry over there about the Supreme Court and the way he feels about our own our own legislative branch.
What an idiot he is, you know.
Yeah.
I hope the people that voted for him are real proud. Look in the mirror and say, I'm a stupid person. Look what I've done.
Yeah.
I've helped ruin America.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. Look at the independents. They have turned on him.
Yep.
Independent, he's lost independence.
Latinos are turning. Listen, it's like I told you. They can talk about abortion. They can talk about January 6th. The one thing they're not talking about is how everybody's pockets being turned inside out.
Exactly right. And here we come into the 4th of July holiday. First of all, let me ask you, Andrew, the Master Barber, you have any plans for the 4th of July weekend?
Paul, I put on a show in my court. The whole neighborhood comes here.
Do you?
Believe it or
not. No, I didn't. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. You have no idea.
Wow. Tell us.
It's probably better than Clearwater, to be honest with you.
Tell us about it, please.
Come over here. Well, you know, I got a friend of mine that is in the firework business.
Okay.
And usually every year, believe it or not, I buy about $1,000 worth of fireworks.
Wow.
And we put on a show. We got, at least 100 nice mortars and...
Goodness.
Five or six grand finales. Yeah.
Wow. And you get the entire neighborhood kind of congregated at a certain hour?
The whole neighborhood comes, Paul.
So it's a fireworks show.
That's it. I've been doing it for years.
Wow, that's wonderful.
I celebrate my independence.
Yes, indeed.
This year we're putting a big picture of Joe Biden in the sky and we're throwing all the mortars up at it.
Oh, that'll be very sweet.
It's amazing.
It's very, very, very sweet. I could just see that.
You know, I found gas for $1.29 today in Dunedin.
Where?
At Taco Bell. You can buy a Taco Bell.
Ah, stop it.
Gas you want.
Stop it. If it could only,
if it could only
move the car down the street. Once you do that, you're going to become a multi-trillionaire.
Well, it's amazing what's going on. But you know, this 4th of July, we still got to celebrate our freedom that we have and what our forefathers did. And you know what? We're going to win it back. It's only a couple more months. We're going to see these people running with their depends turned inside out in Washington.
Well, you know, just before you came on, we were talking with this lady that I found to be very interesting, Katie Tubb. I don't know if you heard any of the interview. But we were talking about the way the Supreme Court is trying to kind of like put Humpty Dumpty back together again in certain ways with their rulings that go back to the document itself of the Declaration of Independence and the idea that we as individuals have the right to freely move about, do the things that we want to do as long as we're not hurting other people. And they were so afraid because they had come out of a system where a monarch, one person, was ruling and making decisions that affected all of the people in his domain. And, you know, they did not want that. So they come up with this wonderful thing of getting the power back to the people. And then they have the checks and balances of the executive, legislative, and judicial. And here we have the judicial stepping in, and I think doing exactly what these founding fathers might have wanted them to do for fear of one group, one branch dominating another. Do you know what I mean?
You know, Paul, in the last 7 or 8 days, the Supreme Court's made a few rulings, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
And they've been quiet for a long time.
Yes, they have.
And I think we're going to see a lot more rulings because I think the Supreme Court realizes how our Supreme Leader is stupid. And he's making all kinds of mistakes, and they're the only ones that can stop it.
Yeah. Well, I think there's partly that, too, but I think they're going back to the Constitution. In other words, the Constitution kind of allows an idiot to get in, but that's why you've got the other two branches as a check. Do you not agree with that? I mean,
yeah.
there are provisions. If the guy is completely, you know, completely out of his skull, then we have, what is it, the 25th Amendment?
That's it, Paul. You know what amazes me the most? What are these guys that wrote the Constitution, our so-called forefathers, were basically 18 to 25 years old, weren't they?
They were. Ben Franklin was a little bit older, but you're right. They were in their 30s, their 20s. Thomas Jefferson was very young. I don't remember how old James Madison.
James were so smart in those days without the educations that we have today. And today, with the education we have, the people the same age are dumber than a box of rocks.
They don't even know about the people you and I are talking about very much.
Exactly. They don't even know what it is.
No, if you asked them who James Madison was, is that Dolly Madison, Hostess Cupcakes? Was that the father of Dolly?
Exactly. Hey, who's John Hancock?
Yeah, I remember him. He's an insurance magnate. He tried to sell me a whole life policy.
Paul, it's the truth.
Yeah.
Our politicians in the last three generations have dumbified America. And they did it intentionally, and we let them get away with it.
Well, I think we allow it. Apathy is always the thing that destroys a culture. You know that.
Yeah.
It's apathy. It's not standing up. You stand up, and a lot of people stand up and voice your feelings. I think Ron DeSantis is standing up. Donald Trump stood up.
That's right.
And it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage these days to stand, because you know you've got certain segments that are going to hate you for daring to stand up and say, look, we're trying to take in a way our individual freedom back. That's what it's really all about.
That's it. Paul, if it wasn't for Donald Trump, I always knew that our government was corrupt. I just never knew how much. Donald Trump exposed it all. And the people should be smart enough to see what's happening here. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
But they're not.
I know. There's a certain segment. It won't make any difference.
Well,
it won't make any difference because they will not change their feelings. It's just,
you know, Paul, 75% of the American public today believe the country is going in the wrong direction.
That's right.
Okay? Yep. So I'm predicting a big red wave come November.
You know, there's another poll that just came out about patriotism, and sad to say, the feeling of patriotism here in this country has dropped to a point where people are questioning the country. More people are questioning the country now than, you know, we used to at least always have the majority of people going, you know, right or wrong, God bless our country, we're trying to do the right thing. You're not getting that anymore.
Well, Paul, did you notice how Tom Cruise made his first billion-dollar movie?
No, I didn't even know. Did he make a billion?
He broke a billion-dollar movie with that Top Gun sequel or whatever it is.
Wow.
I haven't gone and seen it.
No, I haven't either.
But it's not because of Tom Cruise that movie made $1 billion. It's from what I understand, people are seeing this movie, and they're coming out of that movie theater like the old Italian boys in New York used to walk out of the theater when a Rocky movie just played, you know?
Okay.
They walked out with their chest big, and they were at the top of the world.
Yeah.
And that's what I understand. This movie is bringing back patriotism.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. I didn't see it, so I can't comment on the movie. But right. If it's bringing back a feeling of pride in our country and what we can be if we really try, and if we're vigilant, and we realize the purpose of our Constitution and Declaration of Independence. Boy, if we got that going, wouldn't it be a wonderful country again?
Did you hear that moron Charlie Crist talking yesterday?
I did not.
He was standing.
All I know is he wants to get married again.
He wants to get married again to, you know, again, camouflage suit. But
he wants to get married. Then it'll be interesting to see after the election how long he stays married. But go ahead.
Well, I think the engagement will go through the election. I don't think he'll get married before then.
Okay.
And the girl better come and talk to me before she marries.
I don't think she really needs to, but you might be right. Anyway, go ahead. So Charlie Crist, what's he doing?
He was saying that if he is elected governor, he's going to drop every abortion law that Governor DeSantis has put into effect.
I tell you, this guy, I wouldn't trust him with anything. He has done 180-degree turns so many times, he's a corkscrew.
He's a little weasel, Paul.
Yeah.
That's what we used to call him when I was a little weasel.
I remember when I first came down here, he was, they considered him a far-right Florida politician. They called him Chain Gang Charlie.
I voted him for a governor when I first moved.
He has no integrity. He has no foundation.
Paul, it's like the old people used to say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice,
you're right.
Me.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. I want you to have the best to you on your wonderful fireworks show. It's great to hear about it. You're a true patriot, of course. And we're going to take Monday off, of course. So that means that you and I shall chat again Wednesday of next week.
We'll see if I got any hands left by then.
Oh, don't. Hey. Look, don't be funny. You be careful, man.
I let the kids do it now. I'm too old to run away.
All right. Well, I want them to be careful. Everybody. Let's
be fine.
Please be careful. I know you will.
All right, buddy. You guys have a happy 4th of July.
All right, my friend.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye. There he goes. And don't forget, this guy was a guardian angel to a Korean War vet, and he was with him. I mean, he nursed him. He did everything for him. The man was by himself, and he just passed away this past week. So that's the kind of guy we got with Andrew the Master Barber. All right, let us take our break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 best wrestlers of all time.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Dominion Day in Canada, which is their big day. It's like their 4th of July. And coming into a 4th of July weekend for us here in the USA. And we got a lot going on, my friends, a lot going on these days. So we hope you enjoy it. Ed, before we get into our top 10, and I think it's an interesting one, I want to ask you about some of the other sports that are going on right now. Do we have any kind of an update? Baseball is always a big deal on the 4th of July, and do we have any update on our beloved Tampa Bay Rays?
They played yesterday. I didn't even watch them, and I'm not going to for a while.
Okay.
They've got so many problems, it's just frustrating to watch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Are we still, have we gotten over the fact that we are not going to have a third Stanley Cup? I guess we have.
Oh, we have, because they already announced the preseason schedule. So, you know, hockey only takes, like, I think it's like 2.5, not even 3 months off before the training camp starts, and then the season starts again. So,
yeah, I know. You know, it actually goes
July,
longer than
August.
Just...
I think they start in September.
They do, I think, so. Or very early October, and they go all the way like they just ended.
Right.
And here we are, you know, at the end of June. So that's a long time for a sport.
Yeah.
It really is. So anyway, I guess we can get into the top 10 here. And this is kind of interesting. I am not a wrestling aficionado, so I don't know much about these people. Let me ask you ahead of time, Ed, did you ever follow wrestlers at all?
I did it as a kid.
Did you?
Because it was, even then, it was still theater.
Yeah.
It wasn't really...
right.
You know, it wasn't really... I mean, they were athletic, but it had a predetermined output.
Yeah,
so
it did. Did you realize that as a kid?
No.
So you did watch a little bit of it.
No, I was a big Dusty Rhodes fan, which I'm sure is going to be in there somewhere. Dusty Rhodes is going to be in there somewhere.
Okay.
But I'd say within the top three.
Okay.
Or top five at the latest.
That's interesting. You know, it always depends on, and I'm actually,
old school.
Yeah.
If you get anything past, I don't know, the late 90s or 90s beyond, mm-hmm. I have no idea other than Hulk Hogan. Okay. You know, we all know him.
Right, you are. All right. I'm going to actually open up on while you're talking. I'm going to give you a little bit of info on each of these 10 that they claim are the best. And it comes from playersbio.com. Mm. All right. So here we go. Number 10, Mick Foley. Did you ever hear of him?
No.
He fought for various wrestling companies, best known for his exploits in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number 9, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, I remember him.
Undoubtedly the strongest wrestler in the ring.
Yeah.
Well known for his entrance bagpipe.
Yep. He had an entrance.
I can just see it. Yeah. Bagpipe and kilt music.
Yeah.
All right. Number 8. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh, yeah, the Macho Man.
The Macho Man. Hey, that's what they said to. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fans noticed Randy Savage with his ooh, yeah call. He was not only known for this alone, but also for his signature entry, Pomp and Circumstance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a big dude.
Yeah,
big
he's big.
Dude.
They got a picture of
very
him.
Very well cut, too.
Well built. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, indeed. Is he still wrestling?
No, he tragically died at a young age.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I want to say, God, I don't even know if he was in his 60s.
Okay.
I mean, very young.
Yeah. Number seven. John Cena. John Cena, just fantastic. Loved by kids and girls. Superstar, blah, 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 blah. Compared to a few in the WWE, he's been the WWE champ 16 times. All right. Number six. Number six is, where did we go with number six here? Bear with me. Ah, The Undertaker.
I've heard of him.
You ever heard of him?
Yeah. He's a bad guy.
Yeah. Dark and scary. Said to be connected with the underworld. But the wrestling thespian of wrestling is just a well-known actor who has mastered the art that has stuck and made him different from the others. That's true. All right. Number five. Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Is that the guy you mentioned earlier?
Ric Flair lives around here.
Is he?
Yes.
For 40 years, he's been ranked high in the world championships.
Goes to Lightning games all the time.
Nature Boy.
Yes.
Oh. Would you recognize him?
His wife just beat the crap out of him, I think, the other day. Showed up with all kinds of bruises all over his face.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Maybe she should have been in the circuit.
I don't know.
All right. Number four. Hulk Hogan. Well, we know Hulk.
Well, yeah, we know Hulk.
He's from around here. Yeah. Yeah. He's had all kinds of things going on with him. He had his own show. He was probably, let's put it this way, more people knew
of
Hulk
Hogan. She's been in many movies. Even Rocky III. Remember Rocky III?
Yeah.
He was Thunder Lips.
He was in there, too.
Thunder
wow.
Lips in Rocky
there
III.
There you go. Number three. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Well,
that's
we know about him. He's a big actor now. Third generation wrestler.
Big Biden fan. Well, at least he was before the election.
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
Hasn't said anything since.
He had a failed football career. Did you know that?
Yeah. He used to play at the University of Miami. That'd be the Hurricanes.
Okay. Number two. Shawn Michaels. You ever know him? Wherever he goes, Heartbreak Kid leaves a mark. Of the many wrestling promotions he's fought, he has had a great time. Okay. All right. So, here we go. Who was the one you said was definitely going
to
be on
here? I
have
to say, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
How about Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh, come on.
That's what it says.
That sucks.
You know who he is?
Yeah.
Tell us about your guy.
Dusty Rhodes was the hero. He was a chubby guy, still fit. I'm well now, maybe not that fit, but was always known to have a little razor blade in his glove.
Oh, isn't that
and
sweet?
And when the match got tight, Dusty would cut his and it, today
cut the other guy
his
or
forehead,
himself?
No, his forehead has so many cuts on it, scars on it.
Oh my.
From the razor blade. We got a minute, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And he would cut it so many times, and then he'd get hit, and the blood would just be gushing down his head.
Now,
oh, yeah.
What era was he?
Late 80s. Early to mid-late. He owned the 80s. We'll put it that way.
Is he still alive?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we're going to give you the honor of saying that is the number one guy.
I can't believe he's not in the top five.
And I don't know a thing about Steve Austin.
I mean, he was like Gordon Solie, and he started the announcing of wrestling. You watched him all the time. He was the announcer, the TV show, and Dusty Rhodes was part of that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, very good. Well, everybody, a wonderful 4th of July weekend. God bless you. We'll be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City.